Okay, let's think for a second about, well, all these invisible waves that are constantly around us. I mean, for most of human history, right, these were just natural things. Sunlight, the warmth you feel, signals from stars. Even the Earth itself has frequencies.
Absolutely. Natural background radiation, essentially.
Yeah.
But things have changed quite a bit, haven't they? Especially in the last century or so.
Oh, yeah. Big time. We've basically built this whole new layer on top of that natural environment.
Exactly. We're living inside this dense bubble, you could say, of artificial electromagnetic waves.
Everything from radio, TV.
Internet signals, Wi-Fi everywhere, our cell phones, Bluetooth gadgets, microwaves heating lunch.
Satellites overhead.
Yeah,
It's nonstop.
it really is. And it's such a huge shift from, just 100 years ago. It naturally makes you ask.
Is it harmful? Is all this immersion bad for us? Or is it just sort of modern life anxiety?
That's the core question, isn't it? And that's what we're digging into today.
Right. And to even start understanding it, we kind of need to get back to basics. What are these waves? The material we looked at has a pretty good analogy.
The lake analogy.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine a calm lake. You flick a tiny twig in.
Small ripples, barely noticeable, maybe.
Right. But then you heave a big log in.
You get these huge rolling waves, big difference.
And that difference, that size of the ripple or wave, it's like the wavelength for electromagnetic
It's a
waves.
great visual. Or think about music,
Yeah.
a huge contrabass
Deep, long sound waves.
compared to a tiny flute.
Very short, high-pitched waves.
Exactly the same principle. All these electromagnetic waves are fundamentally the same thing, oscillations, vibrations of electric and magnetic fields. But we classify them by their wavelength, basically the distance from one wave peak to the next.
Okay, that makes sense. But then the source material takes a bit of a, well, a more unusual turn.
You mean the mental waves?
Yeah, waves of thought. It even brings up this idea of remote viewing, which apparently was discussed before on some blog, Ufologia Lado B.
Right, and connects it to other, let's say, less scientifically mainstream phenomena.
Like bilocation, out-of-body experiences, telepathy, even telekinesis, suggesting maybe these could be linked to electromagnetic waves that humans produce.
It's definitely a more speculative path, but let's unpack how they try to bridge that.
Okay.
The thinking goes like this. Our brain cells, the neurons, they communicate using tiny electrical impulses. We can absolutely measure this electricity.
That's an EEG, right? Electroencephalogram.
Precisely. And that electrical activity generates what we call brain waves. Different patterns, different frequencies are linked to different states.
Like delta waves for deep sleep.
Theta for that really deep relaxation or meditation state.
Alpha when you're maybe calm but awake and alert.
Beta for active focus,
Yeah.
problem solving,
Yeah.
and gamma for really intense cognitive processing, high-level thinking.
So the source is saying, okay, these aren't radio waves carrying music,
No, not identical.
but they are electrical fluctuations. And basic physics tells us moving electrical charges create.
Some kind of electromagnetic field. It's subtle, perhaps very weak compared to a radio transmitter, but the principle holds. It's an interesting connection they're drawing.
But it does seem to shift more metaphorical after that point, talking about thought vibrations.
Yeah, linking it more to emotional states or changes in consciousness, sometimes, induced temporarily.
Right.
And the source is pretty upfront, acknowledging there's no solid scientific proof for consciousness existing outside the body or things like that.
Yeah.
But it mentions things perceived as evidence, like that remote viewing example or previous article they referenced.
It's explorando esencia de conciencia, it was called.
Right. So it's important for you, the listener, to understand this part is largely in the realm of interpretation, maybe philosophy, not hard science as we usually define it.
And it even touches on things like energy medicine, Reiki, this idea of a unified field of consciousness.
Using these thought vibrations,
Yeah.
supposedly for healing. And there's that mention of speculative links to quantum physics, the whole mind collapsing reality idea.
But again, it circles back to say this is speculation, no real empirical backup.
Which is fair, but it does land on a point that feels, well, undeniable, regardless of the mechanism,
Which is.
that our thoughts, our mindset clearly do affect us. Our internal state, how we interact with the world, both positively and negatively, we all experience that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's pivot from those more theoretical ideas back to the more established stuff, the known good and bad of electromagnetic waves we encounter every day.
Good idea. Let's start with the good, the beneficial waves.
Visible light seems like the obvious starting point.
Absolutely crucial. Can't see without it. Plus, it regulates our internal clocks, our circadian rhythms.
Sleep-wake cycles.
Exactly. And importantly, sunlight exposure helps our bodies produce vitamin D.
Right. Then there's infrared.
Yet we feel it as heat. It's used a lot in physiotherapy, for instance. Helps with muscle pain, boosts circulation. Really useful.
And microwaves, they
Yeah.
get a bit of a mixed reputation sometimes.
They do, but in the low doses used for things like Wi-Fi or cell phone communication, the consensus is they're safe. And, well, heating up leftovers fast,
Yeah,
pretty handy.
can't argue with that.
And then you have radio waves. I mean, think about it. Radio, TV, telephones, the internet.
The backbone of modern communication.
Totally. Our world just wouldn't work the same way without them.
Okay, so lots of benefits, but there's always another side, right? The potentially harmful waves.
There are. And the key thing, as the material points out, is usually about the dose excessive exposure or the energy level of the wave itself.
Like UV rays from the sun.
Perfect example.
Yeah.
We need some sun, like we said, for vitamin D, but too much.
Sunburn, and worse, increased skin cancer risk over time.
Exactly. Then you have X-rays, incredibly valuable in medicine for imaging.
But the technician always leaves the room or wears lead protection.
Right, because exposure needs to be controlled. There's a risk of genetic damage with too much.
And at the really high energy end.
Gamma rays, very energetic, very damaging to living cells, but even they have a beneficial use.
In radiotherapy, right?
Yeah.
To target and kill cancer cells.
Precisely. So it's often about controlled application versus uncontrolled exposure.
Which brings us right to the big modern question mark for a lot of people. 5G, Wi-Fi, are cell phones villains or not?
Well, the vast majority of scientific evidence and regulatory bodies say these technologies use what's called non-ionizing radiation.
Meaning low energy.
Low energy. Not enough energy theoretically to directly break chemical bonds or damage DNA in the way that, say, UV or X-rays can. That's the key distinction, ionizing versus non-ionizing.
Okay, so theoretically harmless, but the source does advise caution with excessive use.
It does. It acknowledges that, look, long-term, large-scale research on the effects of constant immersion is still ongoing.
Yep.
So while the current consensus is low risk, prudence isn't a bad idea.
And it does seem like a lot of the alarm around these things, as our source notes, sometimes comes from, well, maybe unfounded fears, maybe misunderstanding studies, or just plain misinformation.
That definitely happens. There's a lot of noise out there. But the material does explore why some people are concerned, which is important.
Right. So the main argument against harm is that non-ionizing radiation just doesn't pack enough punch wave by wave to cause damage like ionization,
Yeah.
like a gentle nudge versus a hard shove, you said earlier.
That's the core idea, yes. Not enough energy to knock electrons off atoms or molecules, which is what ionizing radiation does.
But this then, the counter argument, even if each wave is low energy, what about the sheer amount of exposure? Chronic, cumulative exposure, day in, day out, especially close proximity.
Exactly. Phones held to the ear for hours, kept in pockets right next to the body, Wi-Fi routers near where we sleep. Could it that cumulative close-range exposure have subtle biological effects over time, even without ionization?
And what kind of effects are suggested?
The source mentions a few possibilities being researched. Things like increased oxidative stress in cells, basically,
Yeah.
an imbalance that can damage cells over time. Potential alterations in brain activity patterns, especially during sleep. Sleep is critical for brain health, so any interference is worth looking at. Interference with how calcium moves in and out of cells, calcium signaling, is vital for tons of bodily functions.
Wow. Okay.
And also localized thermal effects. Not like cooking, but tiny amounts of heating in tissues right next to the device.
Microheating.
Yeah. And whether these subtle effects, if they occur, add up to actual health problems in the long run. That's the ongoing debate in research area.
And we should also touch on electromagnetic hypersensitivity.
Right, EHS. Some people report experiencing quite debilitating symptoms, headaches, fatigue, nausea, skin tingling when they're near electronic devices.
Even if the scientific link isn't definitively proven or understood, their experience is real for them.
Absolutely, it's a complex issue, and dismissing people's reported experiences isn't helpful.
Okay, let's widen the lens a bit. What about the impact on the environment? Animals, insects. The source had that striking image.
Yeah, the disrupted cows, the scattered birds and butterflies, the sort of stressed-looking wheat. It's meant to be symbolic, I think, of potential ecological effects.
And is there actual research behind that?
There is. Some studies suggest that the radiation from cell towers, and maybe even widespread Wi-Fi, could interfere with the navigation systems of animals like birds and bees.
Oh.
Many of them use magnetoreception. that can sense the Earth's magnetic field to navigate. The thinking is that artificial electromagnetic fields might scramble or interfere with that sense. The chaotic lines and scattered animals in that image represent that idea visually.
Interesting. Any other potential impacts?
Some research also looks into effects on behavior or reproduction in certain insects or small animals. Again, it's an active area of study, figuring out the mechanisms and the extent of any effects.
But the source also brings up the nocebo effect here.
Right. The flip side of the placebo effect. If you strongly expect something to harm you, you might actually experience negative symptoms. It suggests that maybe some of the reported human anxiety or symptoms could be influenced by belief, not just direct physical effects.
A psychological component?
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't negate the need for caution, especially, as the source points out, for groups that might be more vulnerable.
Like who?
Children, whose bodies and brains are still developing, pregnant individuals, and maybe even our pets. Particularly if they sleep right next to a router or other strong sources for hours every night. A little distance probably doesn't hurt.
Okay, that makes sense. So as we kind of pull this all together.
It's clear that electromagnetic waves are just fundamental now. Modern life, technology, communication, medicine, agriculture, it all relies on them in so many ways.
Yeah, the benefits are huge and undeniable. The therapeutic uses alone MRIs for diagnosis, phototherapy.
Using specific light wavelengths to help plants grow better. Using tech to monitor animal health. It's incredible stuff.
And it is reassuring that the big health organizations, WHO, FDA, and Anvisa here in Brazil, others, globally, their current stance is that based on the evidence we have,
typical exposure levels, non-excessive exposure,
yeah,
doesn't seem to pose serious health risks.
Right. That's the consensus view for now.
But, and it's an important but, the fact that research is ongoing and people are even developing filters or ways to mitigate exposure.
It shows that the science isn't totally settled, right? Our understanding is still evolving.
Exactly. We're learning more all the time. It's a complex picture.
So maybe this is the thought to leave everyone with. We know these waves are this double-edged sword, amazing benefits, but also these questions about potential subtle long-term effects from this constant immersion we're all in. Given that, and even without definitive proof of widespread harm yet, what's our responsibility as individuals, as a society? How much should we try to understand and maybe mitigate potential impacts on ourselves and the environment?
It's a really important question to ponder, isn't it? Especially as our reliance on these technologies just keeps growing. Something definitely to think about after this deep dive.